What's wrong with you people?
Welcome to Not Another Baptist Podcast. My name is Matt Hensley, the pastor of Plymouth Park Baptist Church in Irving, Texas, and I am joined by Kyle, non-alcoholic beerman, the something-something or other at the North American Mission Board replant team. Kyle, what's your title again?
Rural specialist, Matt.
Rural specialist. I thought it was like 10 words long. Anyway.
It used to be.
Anyway, well, I'm glad y'all distilled it down to just rural specialists as you live in a major metropolitan city. But Kyle, it is good to see you. We're recording this about 24 hours from when I will be leaving Shreveport, Louisiana, on the way to Lynette, Alabama. Lafayette, Alabama. That's the only two towns that I know names of there, and I don't even know anything about any of those towns outside of Auburn, Alabama. And we will be in both Central and Eastern time zones. It's kind of, I've kind of got a little bit of both there. And looking forward to that, I'm going to be preaching at First Baptist Church of Lafayette and then Lafayette Heights Baptist Church in the morning on Sunday. And then I will be preaching at the East Liberty Baptist Association's Renew Church Revitalization Conference. So I'm going to preach that night to the pastors and their wives, and then just to the pastors. And then in the morning, we'll be doing some more kind of workshop type stuff on church revitalization, and looking forward to our time in Alabama. I'm going to be able to see Al Jackson. Do you remember Al Jackson?
Yeah, I do.
Al Jackson. We're going to have dinner with Al and Kim Jackson and Scott Ferguson and his family on Saturday night. And looking forward to that. If you don't remember, if you're listening here, Al was the final speaker in the 2021 SBC Pastors Conference.
Yes, I believe that's correct.
I don't remember.
22.
Yeah, one was Anaheim. COVID. Yeah. And so he was a final preacher, and he had just retired after like 1,000 years as the pastor of one of the most prominent churches in Alabama. And much of his ministry was kind of in the shadows. Even though it was a large, prominent church, he really just gave his life to pouring into the next generation of pastors. And so they were actually the ones that got together. And I don't know, there's like 30 or 40 of them that all nominated this guy. And so that's the only way I'd ever heard of him.
Yeah.
And he turned me down a couple of times and then finally agreed. And I'm so glad he did. Ended up being one of our most downloaded messages after, I believe it was Daniel Ritchie and Clifton. Yeah. So really encouraged by that. And really looking forward to getting to be encouraged by him in person tomorrow.
And then tell our listeners where you're headed after that.
Well, eventually I'll be at Fellowship Baptist Church with Clint Ellis. I'm going to be preaching there on the way back. Yeah.
Okay. From worshiping at the House of Mouse.
From, you know, we don't have to talk about that. You know, we might have some different, thoughts from some of our, we're going to be spending every year, we try to go to Walt Disney World or Disneyland, depending upon where we had lived at that time, to celebrate our girls' adoption anniversary. And so we will be at Disney World for a couple of days and really pumped about leaving there. So
I'm sad you're not going to get your normal Splash Mountain picture because it's not quite open yet with the Tiana's Bayou Adventure, the rebranding there. Well, so we're not nearly as busy, but as this goes live, we will have just gotten off a cruise ship and hopefully, if all goes well, driven about 11 hours home after we get off the ship. So we are taking a cruise down to a couple of stops in Mexico, kind of for a late spring break. So we're really excited about that. I'm not preaching anywhere. We're just going on a vacation.
I'm so proud of you. I don't know how that goes. So of course, that's what I enjoy doing. I don't really, yeah. This isn't vacation for me anyway. I enjoy watching them have fun. I don't like, there's nothing about Disney that I enjoy. Crowds, don't enjoy them. Food? Spending a lot of money, not a big fan. Food, fine. But I mean, there's something about going to a castle and eating a, you know, little filet mignon and a little like spoonful of, you know, mashed potatoes, and then getting the bill and it's like $390 yes. or something.
It is ridiculous. It suddenly
makes me think I would have been okay with an Uncrustable, you know?
Yeah, that's like, right.
But anyway, the girls love it. Rebecca loves it. And I will say my favorite part though is when we go to Universal and we usually get the Express Pass. And so we can ride the rides as many times as we want. And so usually, and we never, you don't wait at all. You just walk onto the ride. And so we'll ride and ride and ride until my equilibrium is off. And then the girls ride and ride and ride. And then we leave. And that's usually fun. But Kyle, we're not talking about any of that.
No.
We might be talking about the opposite of that. today, we're going to talk about worship. And there was recently an article on Lifeway Research that we're going to link into the show notes about seven things we may wish that the Bible didn't say about worship. We're not going to read through all of this. We are going to link it and encourage you to read it. It was really well done, very biblically based and biblically driven, and also very encouraging and insightful. And that's often what we find on Lifeway Research. So grateful for them and our friends there. But Chris Smith wrote this, and there's a great introduction just talking about, hey, the Bible does have a lot to say about worship. It says what, you know, why we worship, how we worship, all of that kind of stuff, what we worship, all of that is there. And it is kind of an instruction manual at times as well. But I just want us to kind of distill it into some main kind of takeaways from this article, Kyle, and hope to just give you some reminders. We realize we're preaching to the choir here, preaching to pastors that hopefully know this, but perhaps you have some church members tuning in as well that can be reminded, and maybe pastors to be reminded of some of the really important matters when it comes to worship. Number one is you need to really think about the color of your carpet.
I misread that one.
Number one is worship together.
Yeah.
Let's put it another way. You got to gather, right?
Yeah.
Pastors that are listening in, we've all heard from that, you know, that church member that's, I can worship the Lord from the boat. I can worship the Lord from the deer blind. I can worship the Lord from the golf course. And they can.
Yes.
They surely can. God is always available to receive our worship. But God actually commands you to gather with the saints, to gather with believers for worship. And if we avoid that, we are actually being disobedient to God. Kyle, talk about that a little bit.
Yeah. And what I've always found interesting is, you know this, Hebrews 10, 24 and 25, let us consider one another in order to provoke love and good works, not neglecting to gather together as some are in the habit of doing. And so, I mean, folks finding reasons to skip the gathered worship is nothing new, right? Obviously, that was happening in the first century, or else the writer of Hebrews wouldn't have felt the need to address it. So it's nothing new. We do live in a world that in the past 30 years, really, Sunday morning, there used to just not be much going on, right? And now these days, there's everything. Travel, sports, with our world of streaming everything, right? You don't have to leave the house. Like there's always something going on. And so if you have the attitude of, we're going to go to church unless something else comes up, right? We'll be at church unless there's something else. There will always be something else.
Yeah.
And so this is a discipleship issue for your people, right? To get them to a point where church becomes their excuse to miss other things because it's a priority to gather with the saints rather than, we want to go to church as long as we don't have anything else going on.
Yeah. And I'm sure there's stats, and I'm sure there's some commentary that we aren't going to have the time to dig into. But as Kyle mentioned, there was a time, obviously, when the weekly gathering was kind of the central point of your week. And that was what you were going to do. Maybe it was cultural, maybe whatever else, but you did that. You had to. Everything else was going to fall by the wayside or go around that. And we even talked recently in another episode about in student ministry. I saw the shift on Wednesday nights, still being pretty well wide open.
Yeah.
The first part of my time in student ministry. And then over the years, slowly that started getting chiseled away from by student activities and some of that kind of stuff.
And some of that will be cultural, right? So based on your local context. So if you're in a rural spot, more than likely there's still not much happening on Wednesday nights. If you're in even a small city like where we are, I mean, there's basketball games and football games and all that on Wednesday nights. So that, again, it's going to depend on your local context. And you're going to have to get creative in what maybe those gatherings look like. And you may have to work around some stuff, but yeah, make it a priority to gather with your people and to create opportunities for your folks to gather with your people.
Yeah. And Chris says, you know, he's not always excited about church. And I appreciate him kind of keeping it real. We might sometimes put on this facade about how awesome it is to worship with the saints. Yeah. And it certainly is. But there are also times that, you know, Kyle, if I wasn't being paid, kind of expected to be the one to give the sermon, and it was completely on my own. And a great example would be, you know, going to Disney, for example. If I was going down there and a Sunday and didn't have a sermon to preach and all the walking and all of the other stuff, it would be very tempting to say, you know what, today's not a great day to do it. You can go ahead and sleep in and do something else and get some rest. And I'm kind of reminded a little bit about running. Like sometimes when I first wake up and I know I need to get out there, I know that it's important. I know all of those kinds of things, but I just don't really feel like it. And after the soreness wears off and I finally catch my breath, I'm kind of glad that I went. And I think the same thing is often true for worship. There's a number of things you would have rather done or could have done or even slept in, but usually you're going to leave there feeling better and glad that you went. And there's even stats that would show the mental health of those that do regularly gather for worship that we could talk about as well at another time. Second, that goes with this, you don't just gather together. You do. That is part of it. We do gather there to be encouraged, to worship, all of that kind of stuff. But we are also gathering so that we can be sent and so that we can scatter. And I like how Don Guthrie, many people listening to this are not going to know who he is. However, fun fact, he was the student pastor, I believe, at Plymouth Park Baptist Church many decades
interesting.
Ago. And then became the longtime pastor of First Baptist Church, San Antonio, and then was the interim pastor of Hunter's Glen Baptist in Plano. Good friend of mine. And he would often say, we gather and scatter, rinse and repeat. And I like just that one, it's catchable, you know, it's memorable, all of that kind of stuff. But we gather so that we can be refilled, refueled, energized, equipped, all of that, so that we can scatter and make a difference. And sorry about the dogs. They have put the dogs out this morning. And so they're now barking at the window. And anyway, worship requires that we do something, not just there, but also out into the community because we've been changed. Talk about that, Kyle.
Yeah, the gathering together is important. But it's much like the If I can use a sports analogy here, think of it as like a huddle, right? There's lots of good things that happen in a huddle, especially in football. You know, assignments are given. That's where the play is called. That's where, you know, if there are any like just real quick adjustments that need to be made, that there are important things that happen in the huddle, but the huddle is not where the real game is played, right? You break out of that, and then the play is where the real work happens. So we gather together to, as the writer of Hebrews has said again in Hebrews 10:24, to encourage one another, to spur one another on to love and good works. But the Christian life is much more than just gathering together. If the only part of your Christian life that's active is the worship gathering, you're missing something. And as Matt said, we know we're preaching to the choir here, but for your folks, there may be a large number of them for whom their Christianity, their faith doesn't really extend much beyond the worship gathering, just because that's how they've been raised, right? In kind of a, particularly in Bible Belt and kind of a cultural Christianity, where they may be disciples, they may be real believers. They just don't know how that plays out in their daily lives outside of a worship gathering. And so that's where we've got to communicate over and over and over and over. Yes, we gather together. This is important. But then you are sent out and into your mission field, whether that's your workplace, your school, your neighborhood. That's where your faith really is put to work on a day in and day out basis.
Yeah. And also not only to make a difference in the community, but your work itself, your job, all of that.
Yeah.
Is worship too. What's the song by Stephen Curtis Chapman? You know, alarm clock ring, you know what I'm talking about? This is going to be awkward.
Oh,
Clock goes off.
Moment Made for Worshiping. Is that the one?
Yes. No.
From, no?
What, oh, sing, okay. Sing it.
I'm not going to sing it.
Okay. Anyway, this, now I want to find it. But it's like everything for God's glory. Do everything. We're going to Google this real quick.
Do everything. Yeah. I think that's what it's called.
Do everything. Look at that.
Okay.
It also came up with your do everything lyrics. Here we go. Do everything lyrics. Now this is going to be super awkward. You're picking up toys on the living room floor for the 15th time today.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Matching up socks, sweeping up lost Cheerios that got away. You put a baby on your hip, color on your lips, and head out the door. While I may not know you, I bet I know you. Wonder sometimes, does it matter at all? Well, let me remind you, it all matters just as long. And it goes, as you do everything you do to the glory of the one who made you, because he made you to do every little thing that you do to bring a smile to his face. Tell the glory of grace, nice, with every move that you make in every little thing you do. That's going to be a very awkward part
of that. That sounds like a... like word for word out of Colossians 3, doesn't it?
You know,
whatever you do, do it from the heart as something done for the Lord, not for people, knowing that you will receive the reward of an inheritance from the Lord. You serve the Lord Christ. And thank you for, it's a good day when you can throw in some SCC lyrics there, man. Good job.
Yeah. Yeah. I had a major, like, just brain malfunction when I was trying to
like it. That's all right. You tested my knowledge of the SCC library, which I thought I was pretty good on.
Yeah. Well, speaking of, when you worship, it is okay to sing some new song.
Oh, what?
I mean, just saying, you can pick some that have,
that sounds reckless,
been made after like 1700 years. Oh, man. There's nothing wrong with having some likes and maybe even some dislikes in worship. There's things that I like more than other things, but when our likes or dislikes drive our worship or govern our worship more than what the Bible says, that's problematic.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
and so here's the thing, right? The Bible does command us to sing a new song. And so there's nothing wrong with introducing new songs. But there's also something to be said for singing songs that your people know well, right? Here's the thing, man. Music and worship preferences are so fickle. You are not going to make everyone happy. You can make everyone mad. You're not going to make everyone happy, okay? So here's the thing, man. Sing songs. And not only that, but... pick songs that have good theology that teach your folks truths about God, because those are earworms. And here's the reality, preacher, you probably already know this. A song can get stuck in their head a lot quicker than anything that you preach will.
Yeah.
And they'll have those earworms in their, from songs that they'll repeat over and over again in their head. that they won't do. As great as your third point of your sermon was, that's probably not an earworm that's going to stick with them. So if you are working with your music folks, your worship pastor, to pick good songs, you can teach a lot through good songs.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, mind you, there are some people today that are writing hymns, you know, kind
absolutely.
Of typical, yep. You know, 3-4 verse deal. Yeah. And there's a lot of rich theology to be had there. Yep. And so it's not just everything.
So let's talk through some real quick. The Gettys do that. Yep. Matt Boswell, Matt Papa write some really good stuff. Those are good places to start.
Shane and Shane. Shane's great.
Man, love me some Shane and Shane. Yeah. I can't sing like them. I got to drop it like, you know, four keys. But all right, here's another one. Worship. Let's talk about this. Worship as reconciliation before worship. Why is that important?
I don't know. Because God tells us to.
So Matthew 5, Sermon on the Mount. So if you're offering your gift on the altar, and there you remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled with your brother or sister, and then come and offer your gift. Conflict even between brothers and sisters in Christ is going to happen, right? Conflict in your own household is going to happen sometimes on Sunday morning on your way to church. But if there's conflict, that will be a distraction during worship. And I think that's one of the reasons that Jesus made this command to go and be reconciled with your brother or sister so that you are not distracted during worship.
Yeah. So if you know you got something against Kyle Bierman before you go to church this week, you need to call him up, say, hey, I'm sorry, you're such a knucklehead. But there's some great stuff in this article. We're going to link it in the show notes because worship is also teaching us something. We see in Colossians 3:16, Chris mentions that the word of Christ is dwelling richly among us in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another. Psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, all of that. Like, we are being formed and reformed as we are worshiping together. So there's worship as correction. Also, the worshiping the right way. There is a prescription in Scripture about how we are to worship. And if you have, any questions about the seriousness of that, you can ask certain people who found out the hard way in Scripture.
Yeah, that's right.
But we've been encouraged by this time. Hope you will be encouraged to gather with the saints this Sunday. If you're a pastor, what a privilege you have to lead it. And remind your folks of this, the wonderful privilege that we have to gather in His name and then scatter, rinse, and repeat. And so we love you guys. Hope that you have a great week. And I'm going to have a great time at Disney. And then we'll be back next week with another episode for you. Kyle, send us out.
Hey, thanks for listening. And until next time, may your coffee be as black as night and as bold as the gospel you declare.
What's wrong with you people?